Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. Normally at this time on Tuesdays, we'd have open mic with Charlie Baker. But now that he's entered the governor's race on the Republican side, we've decided to turn the mic for the next handful of weeks over to all the Democratic candidates running in the race. Here with us in Studio 3 is Juliet Kayyem. She's a former columnist of the Boston Globe, lecturer in public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. She spent nearly 15 years in counterterrorism, homeland security, and emergency management. Juliet, it's great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Juliet, before we get to Massachusetts, yes. I'm dying to ask you, because you are an expert in homeland security and you know a lot about security. We've been talking about Syria all day. Is it even possible that if everything goes well and the Russians go in and we have these UN inspectors looking for these chemical weapons and stuff, is it possible to actually verify that they're gone, or is this just like a rock part two?
Oh, I think it's absolutely possible. I mean, I think this issue is relevant to a governor's race. I think it's important to the citizens of the state. We have a National Guard and a military. I used to oversee them. We have a Syrian population. People are interested. I think it's a fair question. I have to tell you, I think this may be a bit of a gift from Russia, and we should let it play out. I don't see why we would be in a hurry. I see an importance of verifying what they're doing, but we shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth right now. This may be an out for everyone, and that would be good. And meanwhile, no more chemical weapons will be used by Syria. The long-term strategy, no one should pretend like this is a long-term strategy with what's happening in Syria. I was just there when I was with the Globe. I was on the Jordanian-Syrian border. The refugee crisis will be with us a long time, and it's relevant to Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, and our allies.
You know, speaking of weapons, this is an awful segue, but we all saw you nonstop on CNN after April 15th with this horror at the marathon. The New York Times over the weekend did a story about something we've talked a lot about on the air since April 15th, this one Boston thing, the notion that there is one Boston for the people who died or were horribly injured on Boylston Street, and there's another Boston for those who live in Dorchester, Roxbury, and Mattapan. Where are you in that issue, Juliet?
Do you mean in terms of the...
In terms of response to crime, attention to violence, and what some people in Dorchester, Roxbury, and Mattapan see as terrorism in their backyard.
Right, exactly. No, and I think that's right. I mean, I think one Boston should include all crimes. And one of the ways people say to me, you're a terrorism expert. Why are you running for governor? I say, actually, I deal with risk and threats, whatever they are, whether it's climate change or crime on the streets or a Columbine or terrorism, as we saw. So our response to it should always be the same, right? Support for law enforcement and response and emergency management. It should be support for the communities. But Boston Marathon was different, and I won't deny it. I mean, it was a different kind of attack. It was an attack on the city and the state as a whole. And so I can understand both a focus on it and to support the victims. But I would never argue that it's more important than the bigger issues that are confronting our society, which are far beyond crime even.
The current governor, yes. And you'd like to be the future one, spends an hour a month with us in
studio.
Why don't
you sign her up now?
Exactly. I'm no Charlie Baker, but I'll do it.
I asked him, I guess about a month or so ago, based on the latest that you've heard from Bill Keating, who traveled to Russia, based upon what Police Commissioner Ed Davis said about communication in this Joint Terrorism Task Force, do you at least entertain the possibility that had the feds done their job, that the marathon horror could have been avoided? His most recent answer was no. Do you entertain
Keating or
no,
Davis?
Deval Patrick.
I do not go down the path of the blinding clarity of hindsight. I mean, in hindsight, yes, we could put the pieces together and say, if only. But that's just not who I am. I mean, I think we learn from what happened. I think there should be an investigation, a separate investigation. But to say that each piece, if only someone had been smarter, we would have stopped that, it's really hard. I have a piece up that I wrote last year, the anniversary of 9/11, on my Twitter feed. You know, what we're dealing with now is a little bit like whack-a-mole. And we have so many threats right now. It's not just terrorism. And we have to accept as a society bad things will happen, whether it's climate, whether it's bad schools, whether it's an economy or an economic breakdown. How we should be judged as a society is how prepared we are for those moments. And that's what I bring to the table, right? That's the kind of management and leadership that I bring to the table, so that at any moment when that bad thing happens, you know how to work state government, federal government, get people together across the aisle, across all types of stakeholders, and get to a solution. And that's so So the blinding clarity of hindsight is a word we use, and I just – I don't know, and that's why I've been asking for an investigation.
Well, speaking of investigation, let me seize on that word for a second. The Civil Liberties Unions of Massachusetts and Florida asked the attorneys general of those states after the killing of a man who allegedly was involved in the triple murder also on 9/11, on 9/11/11 in Waltham, asked Martha Coakley specifically, who may be an opponent of yours, we don't know, for the Democratic nomination, to investigate the killing of this guy Totashev in his apartment in Orlando. Their contention being, one, that the FBI is not doing it. Two, the FBI, according to the Times, has cleared itself 150 out of 150 times when there's been a shooting, whether it led to death or not. Martha Coakley said she would not do it. Was she wrong?
Oh, I don't know the specifics. I'm very careful about ongoing investigations because we don't know the specifics, but certainly, at least what I've seen publicly as a public citizen, I don't think we have good enough explanations right now.
So would you ask the Attorney General if you were governor now to investigate? We had two state troopers there.
Right. And we had two state troopers there. And I mean, I'm a big fan of lessons learned. I mean, I'm a opposition researcher's dream. I mean, I was writing for the Boston Globe for almost 2 years. I was pushing for a lessons learned, a review, an assessment. If it gets to blame an investigation, so be it. But, I mean, just think of all the things we go through and what we can learn from. I mean, the capacity of government to learn after something happens should never be denied. And I always say this about the Boston Marathon. We can talk about luck and Boston Strong, and I have a mantra that I don't actually do luck, because it wasn't luck. It was an investment in learning from past attacks, past crime, past whatever it is, to get better at what we do. And that's what I bring to – we can get better. And there's no finish line. I mean, government can always get better. There's no perfect situation. We just adapt and respond and get people to engage in the progressive politics and the public policy problems that we have.
So I guess you got carbon monoxide detectors in your house and all the smoke alarms are working.
Absolutely. Okay. What kind of I'm a mother first, actually, so I hope every mother and father have it.
Well, that's one of the things I want to ask you about. I mean, you had the gig at the Globe, working there 2 years, writing a column. You're on CNN all the time.
Right.
You had the Homeland Security thing. You're teaching at Harvard. I mean, you got a great deal going.
I did.
Plus, you got the three kids as well, and they're pretty young. Why do you want to do this? I mean, you got to go from Yarmouth to Pittsfield, then to Lawrence, and down to back. I mean,
my kids are a pain. No, I'm joking.
Get away from the kids. That's a good reason.
No, there. Look, I have served most of my life in the public sector. I love working in government. I've worked in state government and federal government. I have the skills. I have the sort of varied and diverse background that I think will help, or that I know will help, for the challenges of the future. So that's the why. And I also think there's not much disagreement about what the priority should be, right? Jobs, education, technology, climate change, all those big issues. It's the how. And I think just given my experience that I want to provide to everyone who will listen to me at every caucus and every district, an opportunity to hear what I've done, both as a civil rights litigator, as well as someone — that's how I started my career — as well as someone in Homeland Security and Crisis Management. I love this state. I have to say, I've had many jobs in government. State government, federal government's really exciting because, you have these big things. State government is the most fulfilling job I've ever had, period.
Really?
Absolutely. You can have ideas. They can get done. It's a manageable. But plus, what it means to be in Massachusetts. I have traveled to, I think we were figuring out, 43 or 44 other states. We're really good. We're not perfect. But to the extent that that government accepts new ideas, can change and modify, that we are a beacon of rights for gay marriage and immigration and new energy sources. All of these issues make it very exciting and also doable. And that was really, as people talk to me, as I talk to people about this possibility, that's what I wanted to bring to the table.
Well, give us the Cliff Notes version on what you do about education, because that's a big issue. A lot of people are thinking the public schools are failing horribly in the big cities, and they're not doing so great in the suburbs either. What would you do?
Right. So if it's K through 12, I mean, right, so I would have a evidentiary-based approach. So we know two things for sure work in schools, right? Better student-teacher ratios and training, education, technology for teachers. Those are the two things. You just look at any of the evidence out there, and that's it. So you invest in those two aspects, and you see, and you help the schools sort of deliver. So that's number one. You give alternatives. I know it's a huge debate about charter schools here. Right now, there's no other alternatives for people who want to stay in the system, right? And I think as a parent who has two children in public school and one in private, for a very personal decision that we made about my daughter, how would I stand here and say there can be no choice, right? That seems to me to be the height of hypocrisy. Higher education is different because we know the jobs that people should be getting educated for, right? Biotech, tech, health, the health industry, education. And we're going to have a gap, right? And unless we address that gap, which is addressable, right? You steer students towards those majors. You support teachers in those efforts. We won't be educating the students that are going to stay in Massachusetts. The great thing about our public higher public education system, our students stay here.
Yeah.
Right? We invest in them. They stay here. Let's get focus on the jobs that will have them stay there. Give them the education that will get them those jobs.
She is Juliette Kayyem. She's running for the Democratic nomination because she can't stand her children. She said a couple.
People ask me a lot about how to do this with the kids. I've worked all my life, and my, you know, what I say to all mothers is, they don't, and fathers, they don't have an alternative mother, right? And I, all that matters is that I love them the most, right? And they know it. And like most working mothers, we, and stay-at-home mothers, like, you know, you make it work.
And you have a husband that helps you, I would imagine.
Of course. And that's listening, and he's wondering why I didn't mention him until 8 minutes into
the... Marjorie mentioned him, actually. You didn't mention him at all. Juliette Kayyem, you mentioned, and you've used the word invest a lot. You talked about education. Deval Patrick proposed the $2 billion tax increase, half of it to go to education, half of it to go to transportation. He got not a nickel. Well, he got some the budget. He didn't get much on the education front. He got $500 million on, give or take a few bucks, on transportation, right. Some of which, this software tax, may be repealed. I know you support the repeal. Did you, with the exception of the software thing, did you support the $2 billion tax package that he was advocating?
Let me talk about the governor's plan and sort of, I supported what the taxes would go to.
Understood.
I think it is important to invest in those two areas. I talk about them all the time as well. You can't imagine us successful in the 21st century without a greater focus on education and infrastructure. On the tech tax, if I could just answer that directly, I think, like most people who have seen it, that there's been enough hoopla about it that we should maybe revisit a tech tax. Mm-hmm. But I want to make clear, this is a mature industry that has lobbyists and others who can debate with legislators. So to stand there and say, I'm never going to have a tech tax is ridiculous, right? You don't know what the industry is going to look like in the future.
Well, put that aside for a second. How about the other $1.8 billion
support? I think my first job as governor will be to do a budget review to see where you can get the savings, where you can get creative forms of income, right? Is it a private infrastructure bank which I'm promoting? Is it other forms of taxes like more penalty taxes or, you know, cigarette, alcohol, whatever else? And then decide where you want to ask for more taxes. But I want to say something about what just happened with the legislature. A governor should push, right? It is not a failure any governor should not start on what's going to be acceptable to legislature, right? You start by the push. And we may disagree on the margins of where this governor or another governor pushes the envelope. But I have to tell you, you know, that's part of the democratic process. And you want someone in that role who's not going to settle, right? And whether it's on progressive policies and criminal justice reform, or whether it's on new forms of income or new taxes.
But just so I'm clear, on that part, we understand you supported the goals of the spending. On the way he would raise money, you were supportive,
yes,
with the exception of the
tech. And right now, I was. And I think, I have to be honest, I think that we're going to have to, it will be revisited by the next governor, because the investments in pre-K and education have to be funded somehow. So we have the casinos, right? So that's why people say, oh, you support casinos. I support the revenue that the casinos are going to bring, because they go to you look at that number. How will we fund public education without casinos? So people who are for the repeal, you have to say, where are we going to get that income generation for? So that's how I think about it. I've taken over a lot of offices. First thing you do, right? Who are the people? What's the budget look like? And so that is what it is. And so the governor, knowing what he knows, right, went for a big ask, right? And I do not criticize anyone for the big ask because you know through the the legislative process, it's going to come back, right? It's going to compromise, and that's right.
Julia, what's your website?
Oh, thank you. www.JulietKayem, and I'll spell it KAYYEM.com. I am not related to Omar or Victor. It's a different
Kayem. That was our next question.
Apparently, that's a rumor in the State House. It
we
is not
to
true.
We hope to see a lot in the months ahead.
I hope so, too. It's really great, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Juliet Kayem is running for governor of the Democratic ticket, former columnist for The Globe, lecturer in public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, spent nearly 15 years in counterterrorism and homeland security. Next week, tune in at this time to hear from another gubernatorial candidate, Don Berwick. When we come back, Chuck Todd from NBC News on Syria, Obama, John Kerry. You're listening to 89.7 WGBH.